This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Good morning, it is 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. For the March 18th meeting were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
I've moved to approve the minutes, March 18th, as presented.
I'll second.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. First item on the agenda, we'd like to welcome up representatives from the Buffalo Children's Center. For the clerk, for the record.
I'm Brittany Scott. I am the new director.
I'm Brittany Hull. I'm the president of our board.
I'm Shelley Baumgartner, and I'm on the board.
So we are here this morning to ask for some emergency funding. The Buffalo Children's Center is in a little bit of financial trouble due to some not misplaced, but misunderstood funding organization. We allotted monies that we weren't aware of where they were coming from. We gave raises to our staff, and that has slowly whittled away at our finances. And due to our poor standing with some of the grants and things that we've reached out to in the past, we've dug ourselves a pretty good hole. So we approached the city council this morning. We're also reaching out to you guys to look for some emergency funding to help us keep our doors open so that we can continue serving Johnson County and its youth.
So let me clear some things up real quick, because I think there might be some gray area in there. We say we. I'm only new to this position about 2 months, so I'm very fresh with a little to no training. With that being said, we took our finances from my hire time and we brought it to an accountant. It prior to that was in-house. So the information that we were receiving, I think, was misinterpreted. So when we brought it to said accountant, she was able to sort things out in a way that now we understand where our deficits are coming from and what we need to do to fix that. With all of that being said, we have applied for grants. We've done everything that we can do in our power to get us out of this deficit, but we're just kind of at a loss at this point. We do have some things happening with the bank to float us to the end of April, but after that we have no more funding until we get some of our grants in June and then again in the fall. Mm-hmm. We have 65 families that will be out of childcare if we close, with nowhere for them to go. So with that being said, it's pretty crucial that we find emergency funding as soon as possible. So we're doing all the right things now that we have professionals in place, but time is not in our favor.
So what? Just how big is your deficit, and what level of financial support are you looking for from the
county? So we have a rolling loan that kicks in from the bank, and we have maxed that out at $15,000. So that needs to be paid off as soon as possible to then allow that cushion to go back into effect. We have about $15,000 in deficit besides that. So that puts us in about $30,000 that we need to be back into the gray area. So with that, we have raised our parent fees that is helping fill that gap. But until we get those deficits paid off, we just don't have any profit until those are paid.
Yeah, we have a very, very small profit margin, even with our increased parent fees. We make roughly $35,000 a month, but we have outgoing about $31,000. And that is if, in a perfect world, all of the parents are able to pay on time and everything comes in like it's supposed to. Most of the time, that $4,000 isn't there because we have parents who can only pay once a month, or, you know, maybe we're they're floating a little bit because it's been short. We try to be as flexible as we possibly can for those families. Given the raises that we're given and all of the things, the lesser grants that we've received, probably some COVID funding that we got, you know, that was there that isn't obviously coming in anymore. Our account just isn't where it needs to be. So we'd be asking for $10,000 today to help close that. We're also asking the city for $10,000. That way we can close that $15,000 gap that we have in our operation account. And then we are also approaching the banks in town to help cover our loan so that that can be dug out as well.
You said you had 65 families. How many kids attend the Children's Center?
Okay, I guess I should say 65 children. So okay. Probably 50 families, 50, 55 families. So we have 65 children enrolled. And that number will increase in the summer as we do offer a summer program for school children. So that will increase as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you apply for 1% funding?
We did.
And how much did you guys ask for?
$10,000. We also have a couple of grants that are in motion right now. They're submitted. Those rewards don't happen until June. So we're kind of in that space where we don't have any grants coming in until June. And then we have some substantial ones that come in the fall. But again, that's another 5 months away until those come. So, but those we've been awarded every year, and they're substantial. So. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you are aware that that 1% money doesn't become available until August.
Yep. Yes.
All right. And have you expended your previous 1% allocations?
Yes.
All right. On the TANF side that the county passes through to you, are we current on all of our reporting with those grants?
To my knowledge, yes.
And they've made their draws for that. Kristen?
Yeah, they have. We're waiting to hear. There's a new manager, grant manager. We're waiting to hear back from her. She's figuring out the process for us to fill out the new contract for this upcoming year, but those wouldn't be awarded until around August.
So, did mention that you raised your parent fees. What other steps are you guys taking to keep the center solvent?
So we have a number of fundraisers that we do every year. Some are small, some are larger, like our craft bazaar that we do in the fall. We're organizing a putt-putt golf tournament for later in this spring. We're also talking about doing a family day where we would do food and, you know, all kinds of different games and things like that for families to come and do where we can fundraise. We have a couple of other things going on, as well as applying for grants, ones we've applied for in the past, and some new ones. We are writing a letter and sending those out this week to different businesses in the community asking for donations. Just the normal things.
We've also set up committees for finance and fundraising.
Yes, and we've taken the steps our finances are no longer handled in-house by our director. They're handled by an accountant outside, and then they go through the finance committee and myself to keep everything in check.
We have some pretty fantastic parent volunteers. We have a nutritionist who is helping us cut food costs the best that we can and just stretch those monies that we get to the best of our ability. So we have really fantastic parent volunteers that are helping us with that as well.
Commissioner, do you have questions? Or Commissioner Shelley on the phone?
Any questions, Jeff?
No, I don't have any questions.
I don't think I do either. So can we legally do something like this?
Under, and I'll defer to our general counsel for clarification, but you are charged with general health, welfare, and safety, and based on the demographic of some of the children that are served there, they would fall into the category of less fortunate, so it would fall into our... The biggest question, Commissioner, would be if you were going to make an award, out of which budget line that you could pay it out of, the most likely would probably be out of the 430 budget and that any other county expense line, or I could go into the budget and try to find an area. You'd run the risk of potentially overspending that line. So if you didn't come in under budget in that area before the end of the fiscal year, you may have to advertise money into it. But
we can also point out that we are probably, well, I'm pretty sure we're the lowest priced child care in the county, both private and a facility. And we also offer one of the only two facilities in the community that provide infant care for parents who don't have long maternity leave or paternity leave.
In the past, Commissioners, one of the main reasons that we have steered TANF money to the Children's Center is they're also one of the only facilities that can cover individuals who are on shift work. So our Road and Bridge employees, as well as the employees at the hospital that work those tens, they offer the extended hours so that those parents are able to drop their kids off and go to work. So we've had a long relationship with the Children's Center, and we definitely value what you do. I guess, you know, my biggest concern is that if we don't get you on financial footing and have a path forward, that in 3 to 6 months you're going to be back here before us again, needing additional assistance. So what is your plan forward, I guess, is the best way to ask the question.
So as we've been discussing in board meetings, again, this is only my second month, so this is all very new to me, but we're looking at our monthly parent fees versus what we're putting out. And we noticed when I first started, before we did that other parent increase, that there was a pretty big discrepancy in those two things. So we're putting out more than we're bringing in. So we upped those parent fees again. We are discussing a different option in the fall. Obviously, since we just did that parent increase, we can't do that to parents again. So we are looking at a different approach to our parent fees in the fall. We're the only, to my knowledge, the only daycare in the county that does... you pay when you're there, not your spot. So children can come 5 days a month and pay for 5 days a month instead of paying for a spot that they hold for 20 days a month or what have you. So that's something that we're looking at changing in the fall. But again, that comes with time, as we just did a parent increase. So we just can't throw that on parents right away. But it is something that we're looking into.
We also... the issue that we're having now, the biggest problem, is because we've been at a deficit for so long, we've dug a pretty good hole, and the bank has been willing to save us up until then, while we've dug our way out with our increased parent fees and different things like that. But because we haven't been in the black for a couple of months, the bank is no longer willing to support us as of the end of the month. So we have to show... time in the black for us to be able to continue with the bank helping us. That would be the need for the emergency funding. We are slowly getting better, but we've kind of reached the end of slowly getting better. We now need to get better, or we're going to have to close.
And we also, since I started our enrollment, we have added, I think, 10 families since I started. So that is obviously our constant goal. We have a capacity of 84 children, so our goal obviously is to continue to advertise and provide the best care that we can for children to make people want to bring their children to us. So that is something that we're working really hard. That's my main goal coming into the job, was to up that quality of care so parents want to bring their children there. So that is something that we're working on. The more enrollment we get, obviously the more that we make every month. So that is our top priority.
So for the TAMF money, it also has to go to the families that are eligible for that, for their application. So even if they are getting so much money, it can only be applied to those kids. It can't be applied to all the kids across the board. So that could leave some gap for their funding.
I look back on the history that Buffalo Children's Center has been around for, I know, over 50 years, and served this community faithfully. I definitely hate to see them have to close their doors. That's 65 kids that are going to be impacted very strong. And I think the programs that they provide the community, you know, the educational opportunities and stuff for the kids, is great. So I guess I feel we need to, I'd make a motion that we give them $10,000 out of the 430 budget.
There is a motion to award emergency funding in the amount of $10,000 to the Buffalo Children's Center, paid out of the 430 budget. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Mr. Gregor, I just again want to make sure that we're within the realm of, and I see you've got your green book open.
Yeah, different topic, but no. Yes. Mr. Chairman, so we've done this before. You said it exactly right. Constitutionally, necessary support of the poor, I mean, that's the language within the Constitution. That's what it's always fallen under before. We've used it for those families that have that can't necessarily afford that, and then also health, safety, welfare of our citizens. That's the other obligation of the county. So that's how we've legally justified that before. I think you can do that again. I would just say you should probably have, we probably need to do a contract, some sort of document setting forth what the expectations are, how they're going to use that money, which is simple. I mean, we can put one of those together, but just so there's something for the auditors when they say, well, what was the money for? How do you justify it? That's, which on the TANF, we don't have to, because TANF has its own contract. They provide that to the state and to us. So that's the documentation for that. This would be a little bit different. It's going to be very similar.
Yep.
The language would be similar, but we probably ought to put something together for signature.
Sure. I can work with, if this should go through, I can work with the treasurer to get a prepay done, because I imagine they probably don't want to wait 2 weeks if they're in this dire of a situation.
Yeah, and I can get the contract for their signature today, tomorrow, whatever. I mean, soon. And then we can sign, I mean, we can sign it at our next meeting. Okay. You all can sign it.
Commissioner Sherry, Shelley, were you able to catch all that?
Yes. And my other question is, the 430, you think that's the best spot? Chairman, can you let me?
There are some, there's a mental health line and some other things in some other budgets, but I don't think it really fits anywhere else.
Okay.
Any further discussion, commissioners?
No.
Okay, there is a motion and a second again to allocate $10,000 to the Buffalo Children's Center out of the 430 budget. We with, I would consider that a friendly amendment, that the county attorney's office will prepare a contract for services with the Children's Center. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of providing the emergency bridge funding, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next item on the agenda involves the lease space for the Forest Service and the BLM. And commissioners, to bring you up to speed, the Forest Service holds that lease for that complex. They were in a 20-year lease that happened to expire at the end of the previous administration. Because DOGE has frozen any new leases for federal office space, the Forest Service and BLM offices are presently without a lease, and if they cannot negotiate a lease, will not have office space to operate. There is a way to ask the GSA to grant a delegation to the Forest Service to pursue a new lease, either for that complex or for new office space. So commissioners, I would ask for your permission to write a letter to the Trump administration and the Wyoming Congressional delegation requesting that delegation of authority to the Forest Service so that they may pursue new lease space in Buffalo. And so I would welcome any discussion on the ask to send those two letters.
When their lease expire?
It expired, I believe, in October or November of last year, and they went into negotiations with...
So they're fixing to get evicted.
They're living month to month, Commissioner. And my understanding is that the Forest Service is preparing to bring in trailers to set up at their fire area, because that's a separate lease, so that we can continue to have a Forest Service office.
You know, I'd go ahead and move that we do send a letter. I think, you know, the Forest Service and BLM office is very important to us. So.
I'll second that.
There is a motion and a second. Just a couple points. With this lease negotiation, the Forest Service has shared that the reason that the new lease wasn't signed was that the land, the building owner asked to increase their rent from $200,000 to $700,000 a year, making that the most expensive office space in the region other than the Denver office. So I understand their reservation about signing a lease previously.
Who owns that building?
It's owned by an LLC, and I can't unravel that for you, Commissioner. Any further questions or discussions on this?
Have they looked at they got some other options in mind then, I'm guessing, because it just seems like they're trying to be ran out of there.
Commissioner,
by that rate.
So, Commissioner, because GSA handles all the leases and they are frozen by DOGE, they cannot pursue additional space. But yeah, I would be looking for all sorts of office space at a rental increase like that. All right. Any further discussion? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to send letters to the Trump administration and the congressional delegation requesting GSA to grant a delegation to the Forest Service to pursue a new lease for those two federal land management agencies. Any further discussion, commissioners?
No.
Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. I will get those drafts done this week and run them through the county attorney for is wordsmithing. All right, I'd like to welcome up our emergency management coordinator for the next item on the agenda, which is radio.
Yes, sir. Seems awfully minimal compared to the last topic. So as you all know, well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you all know, that we've had some challenges with Buffalo Mountain Radio Network closing and trying to figure out what we're going to do with that. And I've had some chats with Sheridan Media about utilizing them. However, I do have concerns about, in fact, in the event of an emergency, trying to get up to Sheridan just to be able to get on the radio. So our options are fairly limited. So I did visit with Pastor John Beck at Buffalo Baptist Church. About a year ago, they established a radio station out of their church that's right at the Main Street on-ramp. While it doesn't exactly have, it doesn't cover our entire county, it does cover the entire city of Buffalo and extends down, for now, down at least to Trabing, and just a little bit beyond heading down Trabing, as far as out towards Red Hills and then up to Piney Creek, and then it goes up the mountain a little bit there. So it does cover the Buffalo area pretty well. They operate on a FM station 88.3. Currently, they do everything via recordings that the pastor is able to just upload and put into a queue. He's still figuring out how to do some of the live broadcast type stuff. However, he did assure me that if we were having some sort of an event and I needed to put some sort of an emergency message out, that that can be something I can record on a phone, send to him, and then he can upload and get that out. So this MOU that I'm proposing is just an agreement between us and them to install those backup generators that we pulled from Bighorn Mountain Radio Network. Given that they're a nonprofit organization, I felt that it was not fair to ask them to pay for the install on that, given it's a little bit different than a for-profit radio network. So just preliminary looking into that, I feel that the cost to have those things installed should be fairly minimal, about $2,500, maybe $3,000. With the public safety radio infrastructure project wrapped up, and just some final tweaks going on, and we have one more payment on that, we should be well below some of the budget on that, particularly the Tisdale line that we used to outfit the new tower for all the miscellaneous work, particularly since I was able to get Rocky Mountain Power to waive any fees on their costs down there that were estimated to be about $10,000. So with some of those funds left over, that's preliminary. Obviously, I leave that decision to you gentlemen if that's something we decide to pursue. But that was my initial thought, was at least trying to think about where funds could be for that. I've talked to Pastor Beck in the last week or so, and he said the congregation is fully on board with us partnering up with them. And so I wanted to bring this to you gentlemen first before I do any of the final presentations with their church on a Sunday afternoon, just to answer any questions. Their ultimate fear was that we were just not going to, they wanted to make sure we weren't going to come in and just hijack their radio station, which I assured them that's not our goal here. We wanted to partnership with them and use it as an emergency resource, and they understand the community outreach and the importance of that. So that's something that I've been working on, just trying to secure to kind of fill that gap for now. I certainly don't like operating without having some sort of a backup system like that. So that's what I have to you. I did get the sign off from Mr. Corrego on this as well. So as far as this goes, it's up to you gentlemen if you guys want to pursue that. So,
commissioners, questions for the emergency management coordinator or the county attorney?
Nope. Looks good to me.
Just glad they clarified that you won't have to DJ once a week for Jimmy's greatest hits.
All right. I don't think I'd be very popular.
What are their hours? Do they broadcast 24 hours?
Like yeah. That? So what he does is he just leaves it in, and given that it's a house of worship, it's mostly just Christian music most of the time, and then during the week he'll broadcast his sermons from the week before. So if that were to be something that we needed to utilize, you know, I'd like to try and get information out there that if there's ever some sort of a major event happening here, whether it be some storm or some other issue, that that that's something that people in the area can tune to. Ideally, if this partnership works out, I would really like to investigate some either hazard mitigation grant monies or some Homeland Security monies in the future that we can potentially bolster the network and be able to reach further down towards KC and everything. But ultimately, I just want to get this started. They do broadcast about every 24 hours. So I just want to get that public education out there. That way people know to go to that station if there's ever something happening. So.
All right. Additional questions? There are no further questions. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I make a motion to have Jimmy get an MOU wrote up with the church, and that sounds like a great idea.
So, Commissioner, can I ask you to maybe, before we act on that motion or let it die, due to lack of a second, there is an MOU. It was in your packet. So he's got it ready. So what we need is a motion to approve the chair signing the MOU.
I'll make the motion to approve the chair signing the MOU.
All right.
I'll second that motion.
Got a motion and a second.
Love technology.
Quiet.
Any further discussions? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you want to use this time, Jim, to give just a quick update on where we are on the radio system
sure.
upgrades?
I can do that. We've made one major payment, obviously, after everything was completed. There's been some tweaking that's been going on with just making some minor adjustments, just some programming things. Just given the nature of us moving from an analog system that requires user input to change repeaters, that we've moved over to an upvoting system that automatically detects which repeater site works the best. It's referred to as a poor man's trunking system. That's all in place. We're up and running and operating on that now. There's just been a few minor issues with that just because the programming transition has required a little bit of a learning curve for some folks, and not everybody wanted to use Rocky Mountain Oilfield Warehouse for their programming. So we've gotten a lot of those little bugs worked out, and so they're just doing some final adjustments over at the law enforcement center tower, and then once they have deemed that all finished, then the last final payment for that will be coming through. But fortunately, we've come in under budget on a lot of that, so a lot of the user groups who budgeted quite a bit amount of money are going to have probably about 40% of that left over. So that's been really, it's been a really nice process. So Rocky Mountain Oilfield Warehouse has been very easy to work with on that. But the Tisdale site's up and running. As the spring approaches, I'll have some little bit of work to do up there. I'm going to put in a barbed wire fence up around that shack just because there's a lot of cows that come in there. We have some fencing around part of it, and they like to squeeze in between the shack and the fence and leave all sorts of presents for us and put out big old ruts. So we're working on kind of cleaning that up a little bit. But I've dealt with the landowners down there. They're really pleased with the work that's been done. And so other than that, we're just looking at coming up towards the end of the fiscal year. I'm just watching some of the budgets, but I'm looking at putting a GMRS repeater up there just to expand our network, some things we've talked about. And then we've got a spare digital mobile radio repeater that we're talking about putting up there that I've coordinated with Rocky Mountain Oilfield Warehouse just to bolster some of our communication capabilities in the county. So, but it's, I mean, we're 99% there at this point.
Questions on the radio system, commissioners?
Nope, sounds like a great job. Thank you, Jimmy.
No problem. All right.
Thank you. All right. Next item, agenda, commissioners, we are back on the Cattle Guard liquor license, which was tabled previously. It does look like there is a revised application. Thank you. clarification from the Attorney General's office.
I did not get that done, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioners, also in your packet are a letter dated September 26, 2024, when the Cattle Guard notified, I believe, the Liquor Commissioner or the County Clerk's Office that they were non-operational as of March 30th, 2024. That was a point of clarification. There is also a copy of the letter dated December 15, 2024, with their intentions of not reopening until the fourth quarter of 2025. So that is all of the documentation that we have to date on this renewal.
Chairman, I'd just like to point out, Jeff Buckley had indicated that Vicki had a copy of the original lease agreement, and I went back through an old renewal. And we did have it on file. I just had not looked for it because their application stated they owned it and there wasn't a lease in place. So I did locate that, and then that lease was set to expire at the end of this month. So they renewed the lease through March of next year. So you actually have two leases in front of you.
See, our county treasurer has joined us. Madam Treasurer, are all taxes paid?
They do have their first half paid on both their personal property and their real property.
Thank you.
misreading the statute. Sorry.
No, that's always best to go to the green books. Mr. Trego, I see you've got your green book open, so I'm going to turn
the floor over. And, I mean, when we talked last, and I just didn't get it done, but the question obviously is whether or not you have the discretion when the license is not being utilized, the facility's not operational, whether you have the discretion even to continue to renew the license. I guess what I, and that's what the statute, you know, that's based on statutory language. My suggestion to me is maybe, I know we have a couple of things on the agenda, and then I'm going to ask for an executive session regarding litigation, and maybe in that, maybe we can take a 15-20 minute recess after that, and I can try to get the answer, and we could come back after that if that would. I think I can probably get the answer this morning.
Okay.
I can at least give it a shot, because I think that's the real question, whether you have, I mean, and then once you have, if you do have, A, have the discretion, B, whether you want to utilize it or not, because it's up to you whether you want to let the license set for another year. That's up to you. But I'm not sure, based on the language, whether you can. I mean, any license or permit in violation of this paragraph shall not be renewed. And that's the utilization of the license language. Shall not be renewed by the local licensing authority. And once the enterprise is operational or open for business, no licensee shall be eligible to repeat the grace periods made available by this paragraph without the consent of the local licensing authority due to extraordinary circumstances.
Yep.
So I don't know how that, the question I was going to have for either the Attorney General's office or the Liquor Division, probably Liquor Division, because they deal with this so much more. They're likely to, I mean, they may want to double check with the AG's office, but ultimately whether you have the discretion to actually grant it or not.
Yep.
That's what we talked about last time. I just need to make a phone call.
That item, the renewal of that license is going to remain on the table then to allow the county attorney to continue ongoing discussions with the Attorney General's office. Next item on the agenda is vouchers. Commissioners, were there any vouchers you wish to pull for additional consideration?
I saw none.
No.
So vouchers before you are in the amount of $311,980.21. Any further discussion?
I make a motion to approve the vouchers in the amount stated.
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is public comment. So we would welcome any public comment. Is there public comment? All right, I will go ahead and close public comment. As the county attorney did indicate, he is going to request a quick executive session to speak with our attorney on some pending litigation. But before we recess, I do want to take this opportunity, because I see we do have the mayor here. Mr. Mayor and Commissioner Shelley, any update for our Main Street businesses on the signage to help direct traffic and get folks downtown during the construction season? I think he was breathing.
Just breathe. Nothing real exciting right now to report. We did get our bids in on additional parking downtown for the city to redo a parking lot downtown this morning, so we're moving forward on that. But as far as the signage, I have nothing to report, Mr. Chair.
Any possibility that the city will not do the tree collection in Prozinski Park and allow that area to be striped to create additional parking?
That was discussed this morning, and it's in further discussion, so we are going to move forward with the striping, and we can what we can do is move those bins to the other side over by the horseshoe pit if we have to. The greenways.
Yeah.
So.
I also
that,
see
that contract is up. This year, the 2-year contract is up, so legal is looking at that contract.
I see our emergency management coordinator. Jimmy, is there a possibility we have the flashing sign, and obviously you have an emergency road out, you need to move it. Is there any way we could position that in the county parking lot over here that says businesses are open, parking in the rear?
I can do that right now.
That would be fantastic because it's pretty scary downtown right now. And when people can't get to businesses, that affects sales tax. Makes it difficult for entities that need to go ask those businesses for financial support if they don't have sales to generate revenue to support businesses. So I think that we've got to get on this, and we've got to get on this now. Because if you can't get to the business, or if you don't know the businesses have back doors, and additional parking doesn't do us any good. If we could use that sign, that'd be fantastic.
I will get that up as soon as this meeting is over.
Thank you, sir. All right. I don't believe we will have, we could have an action item. So for press members of the public that want to stay until that executive session is over, depending on whether the county attorney gets a response from the AG's office, I would entertain a motion to enter into executive session pursuant to the statute covering pending litigation.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That's easy. So essentially, They interpret that statute to say you have the discretion to do what you want to do. It's up to you. So they read that statute, whether you're a new business or a continuing business, you get 1 year of non-op no matter what. Second year, you can request a second year, which would where we would be now. That is up to your discretion, but is typically granted according to the division, liquor division. After that, you have additional authority if you so desire. But it's up to the licensing board, i.e. the county commissioners. So that's what I found out. That's how they read the statute. That's how they interpret it.
Jim.
Did you hear that, Jeff?
I do.
Commissioners, you have a couple options. You can move to take this from the table. You could do a motion, or you could choose to take no action. Commissioners, what is your pleasure?
Huh. No action. No, I'm just talking out loud. What did you say about it? How do they interpret that again?
Yep, yes, sir, Commissioner. So they interpret the statute to read, whether you're a new applicant or a continuing applicant for a renewal, that you have 1 year of non-operation. You can ask for that. It's non-discretionary. That's statutorily required. So their last year, they just have to notify, say, hey, we're taking a year off. They can do that, and there's no restrictions on that. The second year has to be up to your discretion. But that's also typically granted, is what the division said. After that, it's up to you. Now, I think what he mentioned is typically when someone comes in with a non-op request, that they have a plan for getting back into business. I mean, that's typically part of the conversation, part of the decision-making process on the part of the licensing authority, whether it's the city or the county, is, yeah, we can grant you additional time, but what's your plan for getting back into business? Because what you don't want, and the liquor division did not say this, but what you don't want is, that a 1 or 2 year turns into something much longer, because if someone else gets the license and there's not a facility to park it in or use it, then you might be non-op for another year or two. And that's what he said, is that's where the problem comes in, because if it's a transfer, the next person really doesn't get that necessarily. They don't automatically get the non-op. They have to probably be ready to go. That's the whole point of the non-operational status, is if it's going to get transferred, whoever takes it over better have an operational facility, because you can't just keep transferring it between non-operational facilities. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me. Thank you.
Additional questions for the county attorney?
No.
I guess I probably do have. So if we chose to extend this operational period, can we put a time limit on that operational period of less than a year?
I don't think so. They're 1 year. They are 1 year licenses. I don't know if you. I mean, I suppose it's possible you could do that, but I think you create a precedent you don't necessarily want to do. That they're, you know, the statute says 1 year. I think that's what we're required to do.
So I just have one clarification, Barry. Is that if does that 1 year, so they were non-operational on March 31st, their license expired on March 9th, I think, 9th or 10th. So if we were to renew it, would we just be renewing it for that renewal period?
Correct.
We don't have to renew it till the end of March.
No.
Okay.
No, it's till whenever the license period starts and begins for everybody else too. The statute says you can put reasonable conditions on a license renewal or a license, original license. That doesn't mean the license wouldn't extend, but you could put some sort of conditions, i.e., if you're selling the building, you need to transfer the license in 6 months or whatever. If you're not selling the building, you need to have it, you need to be on the road towards operational within 6 months. That's just, and they've said they're, the last meeting, I think they said by the end of this year, they're planning to have, if they're not selling it, the building, they're planning to have it refurbished and operational toward, by the end of this year. I think that's what they said, by fourth quarter. So that's 6 months from now anyway, so it may not matter, but that's something you possibly can put into the license. But that's, you still couldn't. You couldn't really revoke the license. It'd just be something to consider for renewal next year, which I'm not sure that gets you anywhere, because you're not going to renew the license again if it's not operational in a year. It'd be my guess.
further questions, is there any sort of a motion on this matter?
So, Mr. Chairman,
hearing
I do think you have to make a motion one way or the other.
Yeah.
You either have to grant or deny the renewal. I don't think you can
not take action.
I mean, not taking action will be a denial, but I think you need to, for purposes of creating a record, very clear record, if you're not going to grant the renewal, then you need to affirmatively make that motion.
So, Mr. Craig, would your preference be that there just be a motion for or against, or do you want a motion to take it from the table and then act on it?
Well, since you've tabled it, I don't know if you've affirmatively pulled it from the table, so you probably need to pull it from the table and then take action, one way or the other.
Yep. So is there a motion to take from the table renewal of the Cattle Guard Steakhouse liquor license?
I'm going to make a motion to take it off the table.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. And so just so everyone understands, you are bringing it forward so it can be considered. This is not a motion for or against renewing the license. This is just a motion so that we can discuss it. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we are back on renewal of the liquor license. Commissioners, you can make a motion either in the affirmative or in the negative. It is your pleasure.
You know, I have great concerns because I know the business is for sale. It's still for sale. The liquor license is for sale. As a result of that, there's no revenue coming into the county because of the taxes on it. I understand Buckley's position very well. I also understand that, you know, the county's position also. So I would make a motion not to extend the liquor license.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. Commissioners, any discussion? Any discussion or questions for the county attorney?
No.
No.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of not renewing the liquor license, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. So what we're saying here is we're not renewing the liquor license?
Mr. Buckley, that is correct.
All right. So what's the county's path forward?
We will look into statutes. In my time, I don't think we've had an available liquor license. I don't think that would preclude you that if you get up and operational for applying for the license that is now available. But we're going to have to look at the state statute on just exactly how we proceed. We've not had a license added because of population or available license, so at least not since 2015 when I believe it would have been Winchester's acquired this license.
Okay, Chairman Novotny, let me be perfectly clear here. And Commissioner Steve, you said that you understand our position, but I don't really think you do. In that, until we secure adequate contractors to do the work for us, we have this divided out, and we have been soliciting contractors, okay? In the time frame, okay? That's one thing. So we've also been approached prior to even having a sign up or anything about selling this. Although we did have real estate support early on with no activity. And we had, I can't say no activity, we had a lot of activity that fell through on the part of the prospective buyers. Okay, so that puts us in a precarious situation. Whereas, yes, I understand the county would like to see some revenue off of the liquor portion of that. Understandably so. We'd like to see some revenue also. The difficulty is time frames. A lot of people, better contractors, are really busy to fit our schedule and get the work done there, and even just to try to get attractive bids. And I'm not sure what's going on exactly here, but it's very difficult with a lot of these contractors in this town. And it's unrealistic. I've been in the construction business for over 30 years. I've been as an inspector for over 20 years. I understand full well what I'm looking at when I'm asking these guys to bid on things. I drew up the plans, and although they're not an engineering drawing, they work. So that's been our difficulty and our hurdle. So from our perspective, Steve, if you look at that, we're looking at it and say, hey, until we get something concrete, ironed out with contractors and can move forward with a plan here, a schedule, if you will, why not keep it for sale? We've been approached again since we had this last meeting, okay? Although it sounds attractive, I can name you a dozen, I can name you eight of them that have been very attractive that haven't come to fruition. So that's our whole situation. Now this thing gets kind of convoluted in that you feel like we haven't done our business properly. When we left here, I felt really bad. I felt really dumb because of having that letter. Chairman Novotny, you asked me if we had sent a letter off to the state saying that we were non-operative. Well, I thought, well, that's really corny because I know we did. Deb and I talked about it. I have it on my computer. I have every single thing that's transpired with Smoke and Bee property and the Cattle Guard Steakhouse, the operations, the sale of the property. I have it all in files on my computer, and I went back through that. Well, sure enough, here's the original letter. Deb got with Miss Jackie, and they found that. Okay, not a problem. And
that's
then amending
the,
that lease.
That's the letter I forwarded to the state.
Yeah.
The one from September that Bill mentioned, that's the one that was forwarded to the state.
Yes, ma'am. The only thing it didn't have was our signature on it, which was the original draft. So. But that's the same thing with the lease. I thought, well, that's kind of corny because we remembered putting the lease together and I had it on the computer. We just had to change the date. So it's not like we've been doing a haphazard job of the business. That's not the case. Or, you know, presenting the documents that y'all require. So I'm just stating that y'all did what you wanted to do, but I don't think you understand the full scope of the situation. So that's just my statement.
Madam Clerk, is there additional business that needs to be transacted today? Mr. Grego?
No, sir.
Ms. Kenyon?
No, sir.
If there's no additional business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.